So what can we expect in the 21st century? Kirby Anderson discusses that very thing, now on Probe.
This week, we're going to look at predictions made by scholars that Probe researcher Steve Cable has collected for us. As we enter into this year, let's look back at predictions made in 1999 when trends which would shape our century. Although far from the end of this century, we can make a preliminary assessment of these predictions. Were they right on track, or were they already veering from current reality? And for this exercise, we drew on predictions made by 17 scholars in 1999. They discussed what they were expecting in the next century. Now, some of the scholars took the approach of looking at prior centuries to see what we could learn to help them predict future trends. One said that beginning by palm reading the lifestyles of the future usually sets you up to be proved wrong, and looking at the last two millennia to prove their point. For someone predicting the future in the year 1 BC would probably talk about the Roman Empire and how it was entrenched and likely to remain the dominant power. But of course, the big event of the millennium was the beginning and growth of Christianity, still impacting our world today, while the Roman Empire is only a memory. Then she notes that the future of European civilization looked grim in the year 1000, but it turned out to be a century of European expansion and great advances in science and economics. Looking ahead, she had a fairly negative outlook for the West, stating that the combination of the new people and a fading sense of common value seems to spell disaster. But on a worldwide scale, she sees us trending towards a great religious revival, the same trend that changed the outcomes of the previous two millennia. You know, assessing her forecast today, we continue to see a fading sense of common values in our society and can only hope that a great religious revival will occur. Now, another forecaster sees Americans becoming self-centered in their view of the world. At the beginning of the last century, Woodrow Wilson brought in the idea of American global preeminence. At the end, Clinton modified this sentiment to the allure of globalism lies in the promise of gain without pain. He believes that this attitude of taking advantage of our position in the world order will continue to grow throughout this century. However, now our president has brought in the new idea of denying that America should be globally preeminent, but rather just be one of many nations, an idea offered the promise of pain without gain. We suffer the pain of conflict with no real expectation of gaining greater respect for democracy.
This has been Probe with your host, Kirby Anderson. Get your free copy of Steve Cable's transcript, Predictions for the 21st Century, at probe.org. Then join us next time here on Probe.
This week we look at some of the predictions made by scholars that Probe researcher Steve Cable has collected for us. And as we consider these predictions for this century made back in 1999, one area of interest is how the role of Christianity may change. Three of our forecasters touched on this subject. One physicist believes that little progress will be made in answering top questions of science. Questions such as, what is consciousness and how does it fit into the physical world? However, he believes that we will make strides reconciling science and religion. He states, for many, the scientific spirit came to be defined in opposition to faith. This hostility really involves an inner contradiction that is coming to the surface. It will become clear to most scientists that there is more to this existence than physical science. By proclaiming the truth about man, religion will be found not to be an enemy of reason, but perhaps its last defender. Another individual believes this century will see the West becoming the primary mission field for Christians from places like South Korea. He states, the same nation swearing fealty to Christ a millennium ago will now be among those most secular in the world. Success in the West may only come after a current situation is reduced to rubble through removing the constraints once held in place by common Christian values, in which case the West will have to relearn the habits of Christian civilization from those considered barbarians. Another author believes that the teachings of the Third Reich will prevail over the teachings of Christ. He says mercy killing, abortion, infanticide, all once seen as repulsive, have been transformed into beauty. He sees our best universities focused on teaching a perverted sense of fairness. The American mind isn't just being closed, it's being evacuated, filled with inconsistent thinking. The system, which should be promoting truth and protecting us from such politically correct drivel, is religion. As he points out, God himself is doing just fine, but his earthly defenders are on the ropes. After all, genuine religion claims for itself the ability to know what's true, and yet we are not proclaiming or defending truth. Without the broader truth of Christianity, we may lose our identities completely. This week we're looking at the predictions made by scholars that probe researcher Steve Cable has collected for us. And some of these predictions made back in 1999 about this century deal with the underlying forces shaping our century. One individual predicts that information is the primary stuff of this coming age. In the last century, the computer helped introduce an age where the amount of information we were able to use increased dramatically. But information may be far more fundamental in this universe. Should information be regarded as a basic property of the universe alongside matter and energy? In other words, rather than information being something created by man, it is the primary contributor to the creation and being of the universe. Information as a driving factor of the material universe helps us to understand how our conscious thoughts are part of it as well. As one physicist puts it, if matter turns out to be a form of organized information, then consciousness may not be so mysterious after all. Why is this concept important to religion and faith? Well, if information is not primary, the world is seriously hampered in what it can reveal. We've seen this with the rise of modern science revealing nothing about God except that God is a lawgiver. But if information is the primary stuff, then there are no limits whatsoever to what the world can, in principle, reveal. However, another particular commentator warns that dealing with this deluge of information will be a critical factor in maintaining a healthy life and society in this century. He states all the portents point to an acceleration of the merry, mindless, technologically driven surrender to the complacent nihilism that has already overtaken so many of the institutions of cultural life. Our democratic society has lost the power to protect from the evil effect of this culture. Imperative. The sea of information has the effect of removing the idea of a standard of truth for righteous living. With so many competing standards vying for our attention, many have given up on pursuing any concept of truth. This thinking has a devastating effect on life based upon the one who said, "For this reason I was born to testify to the truth." For the church, everything will depend on its ability to marshal the principled resistance to this influence of popular culture and the sea of inconsistent information. This week we've been looking at the predictions made by scholars that probe researcher Steve Cable has collected for us. And looking back at the forecasts made back in 1999 about trends in this new century, today we can consider the perversion of tolerance and the future of ecumenism. One particular scholar states that the meaning of tolerance has shifted from a willingness to put up with the characteristics of others to a stand that all beliefs should be considered equally true, except for any belief that states that your beliefs are correct and another's are wrong. He states tolerance easily becomes acquiescence to the submergence of truth into a shifting variety of opinions. This view cannot be acceptable to Christians who are challenged to develop an attitude towards the religious and cultural confusion surrounding them that is tolerant in a way that is distinct from today's new tolerance. He goes on to suggest that using the term forbearance, reflecting a view imbued with brotherly love, a recognition of the diversity of views, and an understanding one should speak out for the truth as one knows it. In an era that says to us every day that there is no truth, the art of forbearance might at least help us to resist the temptations to relativism. You know, in this particular year, the postmodern definition of tolerance continues to hold sway, but a discernible trend to use another term to describe the loving attitude Christians have towards another has not appeared. The fight against promoting any set of ideas as equally valuable is continuing with no discernible progress. Another commentator looked back at the Second Vatican Council in 1965, when many mainline Protestants and Catholics were wondering if there were a precursor to ultimate reunification of the Christian Church. Surprisingly, by 1999, it was not the left talking about ecumenicalism, but rather the religious right. The consistency of moral positions in the Catholic Church and evangelical circles has blossomed into a genuine spiritual engagement. He went on to say, "How can there be genuine spiritual fellowship between people who sincerely consider each other to be in error on profoundly important religious questions?" Well, he suggests that it is genuine because it takes religious faith and religious differences seriously. Their common goal of combating the increasing rise of non-Christian thought will cause them to work together. He states, "I'm even hopeful of its capacity to survive victories, even though that, of course, is a far greater challenge." This week we've been looking at the predictions made by scholars that probe researcher Steve Cable has collected for us, and today we're looking at factors that will rule our world situation today and in the future. One commentator noted at the end of the first millennium, the primary institutional form was the church. During the second millennium, it was joined by the nation-state and corporations. Entering the third millennium, the forces are now primarily economic and secondarily political, with the churches existing at the margin of society. He predicted the significance of corporations will advance as nation-states decline, making us a world not defined by what we believe, but by what we consume. Hopefully, as the bankruptcy of the corporate promise begins to become evident, people turn to the churches with renewed passion. To become anything other than a religious reference box on a census form, churches must look to provide a message that offers a hope of resistance. Today, we're more driven by consumption. Time will tell if this ultimately leads us back to the church with a renewed passion. Another commentator predicted that the rule of law will no longer have independent moral force of its own. Bureaucracies will lay down most of what governs with little accountability to the people. Elections and legislative deliberation will be disconnected from the real governance, making politics simply entertainment. Democracy will consist of the chaotic struggle to influence decision makers who are not responsive to elections. Another commentator foresaw a major shift in the forces of global conflict. Where most conflicts were between states, in this new century we will see the clash between modern Western states, Asian civilizations, and Islamic civilization. Uncertainty about the intentions of other civilizations will produce fear between them. For example, the post-modernity of the West directly attacks the pre-modern faith-based culture of the Islamic societies. He goes on to say that Christians should be open to Muslim cooperation in addressing the moral failures of modernity. The church could take the lead in creating a globalization of solidarity. You know, looking back over the last 15 years, many of these predictions from 1999 are roughly on track. These pundits did not paint an encouraging view of the future. It is incumbent upon evangelicals to pray fervently and to work diligently to change Western society for Christ over the next 85 years.